Yeah, there it is. It's busted. Kind of busted pencils. Fully leaded. Education talk. Educated. Educators talking education. Friday. You know what that means. It's that special producer's choice. Jacob's on the mound. Johnny Lupinacci. Are we ready, man?
I think so, Tim. I mean, it's time. It's Jacob's choice today, man.
Well, okay, though, before we get there, though, we got to at least mention, Johnny, were you paying attention yesterday to the bromance gone bad?
Yes, and I've been getting hilarious memes and all kinds of great texts today at work about this. And I said, I mean, we knew this was only a matter of time, but hilarious. Let's bask in this fun moment and then deal with the aftermaths later. But yes, as busy as I've been, I have been keeping up.
Well, then good, because Jacob and I were talking, you know, before the show, and we're trying to figure out, you know, if you're a betting person, who comes out on top. And my thought now is that actually Linda McMahon will.
I was going to say the Hulkster.
It's a bromance going back. People listening go, what are you guys talking? Musk and Trump, everybody. If you haven't seen it, you know, my goodness, come out from under your hole and stick your head out and look around. But the two bromancers, the love fest, it appears to be over. It was actually funny. I was looking at the New York Times today, and it literally was like, okay, 5 minutes ago, Trump said this. 2 minutes ago, Elon said this. You know, it was just a bullet. It was like reading, like, I'm like, this is the way I used to help my third graders to settle disputes. You just let them go back and forth for an hour until they tire themselves out. These two, I don't know. But Jacob, not to steal your thunder, but we had to mention that.
I think that was important, Tim. I mean, there's a lot going on in the world. But more importantly than that nonsense, it's time for the Producer Choice Show.
Anything goes. It's going to be Producer's Choice.
Ow!
You now have two choices.
Chairman of the board, Jacob.
Ow!
Jacob, chairman of the board.
I bet the board is spelled B-O-R-E-D.
We choose to go to the moon.
Life's full of tough choices, isn't it?
You chose poorly.
Hey, that was my overproduced intro segment I put together for the program. I shortened it just a tiny little bit.
No such thing. I was going to say, that's shortened, man. I think there's no such thing as overproduction when it's coming from you, Jacob. It's just fire production, and I love it.
Thank you very much, Johnny. Now, that I can't award you extra points for the kissing up. I want to be clear about that, but I do appreciate the kind words. Dr. Tim Slecker, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, for the past 2 months now, I have had the privilege, nay, the honor, of producing the greatest radio program known to man, Busted Pencils. And while I've learned so much from you fine gentlemen about our education system and become something of an educated educator myself, the fact remains that I'm still quite new around these parts. So, guys, that's why today our topic is one that will not only bring me up to speed and help complete my internship here at the station, but also will be a long-needed accelerated course that will help any and all new listeners catch up on the rich lore of Busted Pencils. I want to hear your backstories, fellas. You know, I want to know how you became teachers in the first place. And I want to find out how you two titans of industry came together to forge this legendary show. So to start things off, guys, Johnny, how'd you become a teacher?
Wow, Jacob, that's a good question. To be honest, school wasn't working so great for me. I was a good high school student, but after high school, you know, I went out and was playing hockey and started college a little here, a little there, and actually started as an art student. And then, you know, didn't really know what I wanted to go to college for. But I had a summer camp experience. Started working at a summer camp a few years into failed college attempts, and met a bunch of teachers who were working in a summer camp. And I thought, you know what, man? These are some cool people. They're doing some awesome stuff with kids. And it got me thinking, you know, I've had some awful teachers in my lifetime. I've had some great ones. But overall, I think I want to be a teacher, right? And that was like most things in my young early 20s. So I said I was a little late to this. In my early 20s, like most things, I was like, well, that's a good idea. Let's go back to, you know, swinging the hammer, working as a plumber, hanging out with my buddies, playing hockey and working, which I loved. And there's nothing wrong with that either. But something kept kind of nagging at me. And I was really interested in, you know, coaching sports, being around young people. And that summer camp job that I had really kind of stuck with me. Like, I liked that teachers were really part of, you know, people's lives. And I thought that would be great. And I was pretty good at math as a student. And I was really good at it as a college student, too, even though college wasn't working for me. So I went to a counselor. I said, hey, I think I want to be a teacher. They said, well, OK, great. What do you want to teach? And I said, well, I mean, whatever. Just you tell me. Like, I just want to be a teacher. I was like.
Oh, my goodness. Tim.
Uh-oh. Look, John, look at that.
You're like high school. So there they said, okay.
Sorry.
You're back, my friend. You're back.
Did I I-70? Did I I-70 on you?
Briefly. You stopped to the rest stop for a moment.
The crickets, well, anyways, almost.
Because, funny enough, I'm locked out of my college of education right now where I was going to do the show from. But looping it back around, long story short, you know, I haven't been good at math and really wanting to make math classes more fun, more engaging, more connected with the arts, and having this sort of sense, hey, math seems to be a gatekeeper. Like we do math every day on the job as plumbers and construction, as general contractors. And these are some of the best and brightest mathematicians I'm around whose school had taught them that they weren't good at school. And so I, you know, I said, I'm going to be a math teacher. They said, great. And flash forward a few years, then I became a math teacher and a social studies teacher and even more things and got into the whole rigmarole. But Jacob, that was my entry into becoming a teacher.
Johnny, that was a very good answer. And I think there's only one way for me to respond to that, which might involve another pre-produced clip here on the show that I worked very hard on. So please enjoy.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
So thank you very much, Johnny. I appreciated that answer.
Yes. Oh my God.
That was not how I felt about your answer, by the way. No matter what happened legally, I had to play that clip because, you know, I worked on it and they paid me to do it, so I had to play it.
I mean, I love it. I love it.
Who doesn't love a little Billy Madison? Tim, before I throw it to you, same question. I just want to say, if you had any comments last week on the show, or earlier this week on the show, you may recall you were in the car, had some connection problems. Johnny was very hard on you that day.
Yes, he
and
was.
And we noticed a couple small, you know, interruptions in Johnny's feed today. He's in the car. Yeah. I mean, if you have anything to say.
No, you know what? I'm just going to say that, you know, I'm going to be the better man. and just say, hey, stuff like that happens. But we are always ready to roll with people, even when they make, you know, profoundly bad mistakes. We're okay. No, you know what though? You're kind of feeding into the how busted pencils. But before that, my teaching actually is a little bit more direct. My grandmother went to college to be a teacher. My mother was a teacher. My uncle was a teacher. There was a teaching, I don't know, some people talk about families of teachers. There's like some kind of weird teaching gene. But what I will say is that my teaching gene came from a much more, believe it, in second grade, I was very angry at my teacher because I remember this vividly, being on the school bus thinking, how in the world could she be making this day so awful? School should be so fun. And I'm like, God, why do teachers have to ruin my day when they're in the position to absolutely make my day amazing, to make things better? And I saw that, and I seriously, people are like, really? I'm like, yeah. And that's, I wanted to become a teacher largely in protest to the bad teachers I then had throughout schooling. And where some people go, you mean you weren't inspired by good teachers or your family? Yeah, a little bit. But I was more inspired by bad teachers to show how much they didn't have to be so awful. And, you know, that's why I became a teacher. So it came from a very activist, radical, idealistic, you know, ridiculously naive notion that I had something better to offer the world than all my other teachers. And now I was largely right.
Well, Tim, I like that answer because it's cool to see how Johnny, he met some teachers that he thought were cool and he thought, I want to be like them. And you had the opposite experience where you said, I met a teacher I didn't like and that fired me up to do even better. So I like that answer.
In second grade, man, he was a ticked off second grader who held a grudge, and then he showed the world.
That anger's been bubbling up for years, Tim. You're finally putting it out into the world. We're doing kind of a round robin situation, so I'll let you do this one next, Tim. You can lead us off on this second question. Okay. Johnny was touching on this earlier about how he wanted to make math more fun and cool. What do you think, Tim, is something that you as a teacher have seen an improvement in over some of the old teachers? Like, what do you do that you think Tim's making a difference in teaching as a teacher?
One of the things I think I've done quite well over the years is to absolutely throw away the idea of testing, assessments, and grading kids. I was an ungrader. You know what my thing was? As hard as it was to kind of pull off when I was a first year, second grade teacher, to kind of say that there were no marks and no bad grades, I did that. But, you know, you kind of had to do that because you had mandated standardized tests and things like that. But I have always come from the standpoint of putting forward the notion to any student in front of me that what matters to me is the effort you put forth, the joy and or the anger, the passion that you can bring to school, and that participation is always really all I'm looking for, an effort. And guess what? There is no bad, there's no F, there's no zero when you are engaging to the point where you go, you're like, but how will they know if they got 9 out of 10? It's like, that's not the point. My point was never to inspire kids to measure themselves. It was to actually get them to realize that learning is challenging, fun, painful, dramatic, but it should never be shameful. Never be shameful. And I think that was really goes back to my inspiration, was to see that what I saw was largely the kind of go-to place in education was to shame kids when they didn't get the right answer. And that was just something I fought and still fight. And even during lots of times found myself occasionally being sucked into ranking and sorting kids just like the system, and then finding that would come back and go, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this, because as much as it looks like I was a better teacher when I was doing legitimate assessment, I felt like I was failing miserably. And so that's been, for me, I think one of the things that I've done differently, and I've held to that. And we'll even say that kind of attitude and that push is how, eventually getting to busted pencils.
The tough thing about that, Tim, and you're kind of touching on it there, is it's not just changing yourself. It's being part of changing the whole system around you and the environment of the standardization and the testing and all that. I think that's a good fight to fight.
Well, and you want to see, you know, look how successful I was. I mean, you know, No Child Left Behind came in after me, Race to the Top. I was a miserable failure at inspiring a movement. If I inspired anything, it was a backwards movement of going, oh my God, we got to get rid of the slackers out there. We need mandatory assessment, shaming, and throwing people away.
Yeah, I don't know why you didn't stop President Bush on that one, Tim. So you could have done better.
You blew it!
But Johnny, you touched on it a bit in your first answer about your aspirations of what you wanted to do better. What do you think you have done better? What has been the Johnny Lupinacci imprint as a teacher?
Oh, man. I think by and large, like, it's going to sound very similar to Tim's.
Let's go.
All right. It's the whole idea that we could do, like, school can be different. Like, we could do education and learning. That's kind of what inspired me, seeing these great teachers in summer camp. You know, they're outside. They were doing really engaging learning together. And that's the same kind of learning I had, like, on job sites. I had really good people in the skilled trades teaching me, you know, a whole set of rules and applied knowledge. And so, you know, I thought, you know, schools can be like this, classrooms can be like that. And so going into teaching with that vision and commitment, that learning math could be fun and for everybody, that learning math wasn't just timed tests and operations of mathematics, although we have to learn to multiply, divide, add, subtract, and, you know, solve equations and, you know, find the missing, you know, angle and the triangle and stuff like that. There are a lot of, you know, tasks, but that we can apply them to life and have fun and build relationships while we're doing that. And for me, a big one was in meaningful ways to not only our lives and our futures, but our communities. And we got to do that together. So being part of a team. So I really held that belief as a teacher, sometimes in schools where it seemed really almost impossible to do, and then get to be part of schools where it was the vibe. And so over time now, being able to be an educational researcher and a teacher educator, you know, teaching more teachers to teach that way, right? Mm-hmm. To really like find their style, to believe, like Tim had said, hey, everybody can learn. And in fact, we're brilliant learners and we have different ways of engaging with material that might be taught to us. So building those relationships in community. And then for me, guys, seeing the strength of public schools as a community center, that just kept me inspired. And so being any kind of way, telling those stories, being part of those stories, but being active in public education in our country as a function of my civic duty. And that's been something that, like, I've been grateful to do as a teacher. I stay a teacher and I'm grateful to do here on Busted Pencils, but also as a teacher educator, you know, and a researcher, as a platform, you know, to keep telling that story that we are the bedrock of our democracy. We're front lines, public education, public health work. That couldn't be more rewarding to me, you know? So that's been a big thing. I feel like I've been able to contribute ways that we can continue to, dare I say it, emancipate education from schooling.
So like I said at the beginning of this episode, this is all about not just me, but also reminding the audience who you guys are, where you come from, and what your mission is here. And I think from what we've heard from both of you so far, I can start to see why you felt it was important to do Busted Pencils and to get that message of change and trying to make a difference out into the world. But I'm still left wondering, how did that actually come about? So if maybe you guys can work on this answer together, which would be a new thing on the program. Can you tell me the genesis of Busted Pencils?
Yeah, I'll jump first. And just to get it quick so that we get to Busted Pencils. During that time of, as you said, there was me pushing against testing. And Jacob, you brought it up, No Child Left Behind. When No Child Left Behind hit, it really had a profound impact on me. And I really started to then actively push my future teachers to really think hard about this law. And then I had my own children were 4 and 1 years old when it first came out. But by the time my son was in third grade and my daughter was just starting school, I could already see the impact that No Child Left Behind standardization, high stakes testing was having. And I just at one point started independently blogging. I met another guy who was blogging for Huffington Post, and he invited me to help or join him. And Sean Johnson, a great guy, we then started doing a blog talk radio show talking about these issues. And we were largely just talking about fighting back against standardized testing. And then I got into the opt-out movement, opted my kids out, somehow got noticed by Fox News that I was doing this and got on Fox News with Gretchen Carlson. And I kind of thought this is great and launched a podcast radio show with Sean, moved to Madison, Wisconsin, hooked up with a great fraternity brother, best friend of mine who was doing radio at the time, who said, let's put this together as a radio show. And did that. You know, Sean went separate ways. We parted ways, and I launched Busted Pencils, and did 9 years of Busted Pencils right up until the pandemic. And right before the pandemic hit, Johnny Lupinacci was my guest, along with a colleague of his, Drew Kemp. They were doing punk rock and education, and they were my feature guests on a Busted Pencils podcast that has never aired to this day, because we could never go. It's in the vault. We could never go back to the studio and complete it. But I knew and I felt that Johnny and I connected. And when COVID hit, the radio station I was working for just said, well, you know what? Why don't you do Busted Pencils as a live radio show in the studio by yourself? It'll be effective. And I reached out to Johnny and I said, hey, you want to co-host with me? And we started co-hosting right at the beginning of the pandemic. And we did it like that virtually up until literally April of 23, when Busted Pencils went to a radio, full radio, 4-5 days a week on Civic Media, and we met each other for the first time in person in four years that we had ever been together. We met each other in Madison, Wisconsin, for a live remote show that we did from Minocqua Brewing. That was the first time Johnny and I ever actually met in person after hosting the show together for 4 years. There's a quick kind of like factually, and that's what happened. And we just started, and we've been doing it ever since, man.
Johnny Lupinacci, if I could add something, you know, Metallica was formed when that guy, James Hetfield, and Lars Ulrich started a band, but they didn't have their Cliff Burton yet. And that's what really made Metallica Metallica, Johnny. Seems like you joined. They already had a pretty good band going with Tim, but then they brought in a little something special to spice things up. What was that all about, Johnny?
Hey, man, it was awesome. You know, Tim had me on the show as a guest with my, as he mentioned, one of my co-conspirators at the time, Drew Kemp. You know, we had started a zine called Major Threat, a spinoff of the band Minor Threat. And we were writing about, you know, punk and education and punk rock and politics and music, and how we taught through that kind of like that kind of paradigm and with music that was political. And so we were on the show. We did a whole episode with Tim and it was awesome. And we were fans of Busted Pencils and had listened to Tim's show. So we knew about it. And then we were on, and like Tim said, it just really clicked. It was an awesome show. And the COVID times were just about to start up. I mean, we recorded that show maybe a month before, probably a few weeks before lockdown. And then lo and behold, and it's a little fun fact because he's still around Civic Media, but there was no Civic Media yet back then. And right. And Luke Mathers was our Purdue, was our Jacob. So Luke was sitting in the seat and he riled us up and said, all right, you guys are going to be now on radio. And it was, I think, what was it called, Tim? Mad Radio.
Mad Radio.
Yeah, Mad Radio. And so we were on Mad Radio, and he said, you guys just do your thing, man. And so Tim and I, and especially during COVID, we start doing our thing weekly, which Tim mentioned went to daily. And here's the thing, Jacob. Sometimes you just can't get in the way of things that are meant to happen. And these are two guys. I can't believe the first time we actually met, Tim, was in that Madison Live event, because we have literally crossed paths probably 20 times. If someone was able to GPS track us, we've probably been in the same location, you know, as social studies guys, as higher ed guys, as teachers and activism, you know, and different things, or just missed each other by a day or so, you know, here or there. And so, you know, it's a miracle that we hadn't met in person before then. But then we, you know, we've been going ever since. You know, we were 5 days a week on civic media, live radio. And then, you know, as we're learning, these podcast drops are where the magic can happen. So it's like, I don't know, there must be some scientific principle about like hot air, and hot air finds each other, even through technologically mediated spaces like podcasts and radio.
Oh, so this band metaphor, I think, is good. So you're the star who joined the Solid Foundation, and I'm the fifth drummer who just tours with you guys several years later. So I'm glad. So I have a role to play here, and I feel good about that.
Jacob, come on. No, that I actually think when we're looking at this, you coming into this now, and I'll say this after the few months you've been here, you've added an artistic, creative flair, a humor, an understanding that has come in and is actually helping this show re-evolve again in a way that it couldn't have happened without you. So you're not a replacement drummer. You're a new creative force that is pushing evolution.
Wow. I'm like, a new disease that causes evolution to spark again. Thank you, Tim. Again, flattery will get you everywhere. I like to end this show with my 60-second questions that I ask you guys. So finish things up. I'll let Tim go first because he was really nice to me. Tim, in 60 seconds, can you tell me, what do you want to do in the future to continue your educational additions to this country and making things better?
Wow. 60 seconds. Oh, my God. Actually, I'm going to keep doing that work, which is to elevate, and Johnny said this, and emancipate education from schooling. And for me, that is providing more access to relevant, powerful education to students who've never had access. And now for me, this is in the higher education realm, and creating opportunities for every member in a community to see higher education, whether it's through micro-credentialing, whether it's through job workforce training, whether it's somebody who said, I never completed college, how will that ever be? I'm now focused on success in higher education from the standpoint of particularly those who never really experienced the success and the joy and the power of what continuing lifelong learning can mean.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
That was very good, Tim. Johnny, same question. You got 40 plus more years. What do you want to do with them for education?
Oh, man, I love giving me the 40-year clock. That's exciting. Hey, you know, at this point in my career, I've been a teacher. I've been teaching a number of years. I've been a teacher educator for almost 25 now. And so I'm at a moment in my career where I'm excited about the things that young people, and I don't mean just young like in age, I mean like new teachers are bringing energy to public education, and they're part of a generation that I'm gonna say they've been, their identities, their whole purpose, their young adult plans and dreams and aspirations, those things have all been forged in the crucible of the largest social uprising of all of our lifetimes. And so I get excited about working with them. What I want to do is continue to have dialogues that bring people together, that share optimism, and that work to
you know, both oppose and propose at the same time, to negate and create, like Tim said, emancipate education from schooling, but through this generative energy that people are bringing to education.
That was awesome, Johnny. That was awesome. Tim, Johnny, thank you both for coming back on your own show. I really appreciate having you here. Obviously, you've both been so kind to me. A lot of nice words, and letting me pretend to be a host is very sweet of you. So I'm going to recuse myself from deciding who had a better answer. We're going to let the audience do that.
Show of hands, now!
And now, Tim.
It's time for your moment of zen. The future is an infinite succession of presents, and to live now as we think human beings should live in defiance of all that is bad around us is itself a marvelous victory.
Thank you for listening to today's Producer's Choice. That's right, Jacob's Producer's Choice. And if you want to grab more Busted Pencils podcasts, you just go to Apple, Spotify, or you can always get at us at civicmedia.com or find us on the Busted Pencils website. You can always get great Busted Pencils content like today's show on Mondays for Homeroom, Wednesdays for Class in Session, and every Friday for Producer Jacob's Choice. And of course, Pencil Busters, get ready, because I know some of you know this, but you can always tune in and listen to the Busted Pencils weekend broadcast on Saturdays at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media networks for 1 hour of your favorite blue collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.